everybody got a 101 book, we'll be singing Psalm number 52. Psalm number 52 in the 101 book.
Anything that would prevent the preaching of the word of God to go forward. I pray for Pastor that you give him the power. Help him to speak with that the Holy Spirit would use him in a tremendous way. So Lord, we're going to give you praise. I'm going to thank you for all you do here tonight. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. All right. How are we on July 2nd?
Okay. All right. So, I got some announcements, quite a few announcements, actually. So, we are going to be able to do a picnic July 3rd, for those that are interested. So, July 3rd, I went over there, we were able to get a pavilion, so that worked out. It was actually a blessing, because when I went over to try to get the pavilion, they said, no, they're all booked up. So, I said, all right. So, I started walking away, and she said, she called me back out, she said, well, hang on a second, one person hasn't paid yet. So they hadn't paid, so I went back. She said, come here. So they called them, and they said they didn't want it, so we got it. So if you're interested in coming, we'll be coming. We'll have the picnic July 3rd, Saturday, over there at the same park from 12 to 4. Obviously, we have it all day, but it'll be from 12 to 4, officially. And then another blessing. So I've been praying about the sign-holding thing. And so when I went over to the town hall, I said, well, maybe I can ask somebody there. They can give me a little more insight as far as Catasauqua is concerned with holding up signs. So I talked to the lady that I did the booking through for the pavilion. She said, you probably have to talk with the police department. So I went down there and I met with the receptionist of the police department. And she talked to somebody and she said, well, come back and call the chief up tomorrow. Well, I called him up today, talked to him for a while, and there's no issues. So Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to try to start back up again. We're going to try to hold up some signs right in front of the town hall down there in Catasauqua. So he said as long as it's public property, we can stand on the sidewalks, as long as we don't impede traffic, as long as we're not trying to heckle somebody. The way he even talked, you could probably even do it in front of businesses too.
So they kind of looked at me like I was a little crazy when I mentioned it, because they're like, oh, that's your First Amendment right. So, yeah. So I looked up more things as far as Pennsylvania statutes on panhandling. I can't find nothing. Now, Harrisburg's got one, and Pittsburgh has one, but you have to be asking for money. Not only do you have to be asking for money, you have to be asking for it aggressively to be able to get in trouble. So I just thank God for that the Lord worked it out to where we continue on with that. So Lord willing, tomorrow, and I'll talk about it in the service this evening, but I'd like to, if anybody's interested tomorrow with going over from 6 to 7, I'm going to meet here first at the church around 5:45. It's only a minute drive there. To pray before we head over there, that God will just bless His word as it goes out. So tomorrow, Lord willing, 5:45, I'll be here. If you can't make it then, but I'll be over there at 6. It's right in front of the new municipality building. Police department, fire department, it's all there. If you need more directions, just get with me after service and I'll give it to you. That's all the announcements I have.
I'll take part of the
Okay. All right. The second song then is in the 101 book, number 59.
Saying some words, and I'm talking about getting a hold of God in prayer. It's impressed upon my heart heavy last couple days, especially today, just the need of prayer if we're going to see God move and do something this evening. And
so what I want to start off tonight, too, is I'll explain as I go forward, but I wanted to read two prayer letters before we go forward for the prayer purpose of keep these brethren in prayer. And this one's from John Hesse. He says, this is from June 8th. He says, sometimes we wonder why God chooses to give us so many difficult trials. It is a great comfort to know and trust that he knows what is best and he works all things together for our good. A few weeks ago, we got news that my mom's mother, who is 91, was not doing well. Because my sister Joanna was here, my mom decided to take a quick trip to the States to see her parents while Joanna helped take care of Dad. Thankfully, Grandma seems to be doing a little bit better, and it was a blessing for Mom to be able to have a quick break and visit. Joanna and Esther have returned to Germany, and Larissa went to stay with them for a few weeks. There's a picture attached of our outing to the forest while Joanna and Esther were here. While Mom was gone, we had quite a scare one morning when Christy suddenly had a seizure. Though it took several minutes for her to fully wake up, by the time the paramedics arrived, she was able to walk to the ambulance. The tests at the hospital didn't show anything. We did further testings at a nearby clinic, which showed that it was caused by a blood flow issue in the blood vessels in the head. She was given some treatments to follow, as well as a few dietary adjustments. Please pray for good health for all of us. We are grateful that Joanna was here, and she was able to stay with the kids while we went with Christy to the county hospital. Our services are going well. Children continue to come for the children classes, and we all enjoy seeing an episode of Superbook after our Sunday service and children's classes. They really bring some of the Bible stories to life and help us apply their truths to our lives. Dad played his accordion again for our services for the first time since his last hospital stay. He has been wanting to play regularly for our songs now, and that is a blessing. Mariana's daughter, Lola, came to one of our services recently with some of her girls. Jan, Mariana's unsaved husband, has not been coming as much as he has not always been feeling so well. Please continue to pray for Ion's salvation as well as spiritual growth and maturity in our people. Christy's English classes continue to go very well. It is exciting to see the progress being made by her. Her students are so nice, so that makes for enjoyable classes. Her times of teaching the Sunday school class at the Tyler's Church are going well, and it is a blessing to be able to reach these little ones with God's word. Enjoy the picture of Marcy helping Christy play the piano at Tyler's Church. We are so grateful for your part in our ministries. Your prayers and support are vital to this work, and we pray for the Lord's will. We pray that the Lord will bless you and his servants, Jonathan, Christy, Corey, and Marcy. So continue to keep them in prayer. I believe they're in Romania. As they minister to the gypsies, that God would just protect them, watch over them. And then another one here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, I can read Miss Elisa Strawn over there in Japan. She says, dear praying friends, I am happy to report that Miss Nayato has continued attending church. Recently, we had a long talk about the gospel. She has read the Bible and a number of Christian books in the past. Thus, she has a fairly good understanding of the basics. However, she seems to think of the Bible as an interesting hobby. Please pray that she will be convicted of her personal need for Christ. Miss Yaida and I still meet often. In her case, she would like to receive any helpful hints to improve her life from the Bible, but nothing that requires any sort of commitment from her. I would ask you to pray for her to have a heart for spiritual matters. Other prayer requests, please pray for Mayumi, who is a young Christian, to be faithful. Please pray for her to prioritize church attendance over personal errands. Please pray for Hiroko to be saved. We have had spiritual conversations these past couple years and recently have spent more time together. Please pray that she will be willing to come to church, and please continue to pray for Ayuma to grow. Sincerely, Elisa Strom, Zechariah 4:6. So please keep these two missionaries in prayer. Lord willing, I'm going to try to read through their prayer letters before we put them up on the board over here. But just continue to keep them in prayer. Also, if you could keep in prayer this evening, Miss Alita Harris, Miss Donna sent me an update on her before I came to church tonight. Her heart seems to be doing all right, but her kidneys are causing her problems. So she's having congestive heart failure. keep her in prayer with that, that her kidneys would work better, come along, and her other organs. And also, she's been having bad anxiety attacks. So keep her in prayer. From what I got from the prayer request, she can't really move much. And so I knew a police officer one time that got shot, and he was paralyzed from the neck, from the head down. And I read his story, and he would say sometimes he just had great panic attacks because he couldn't move, and it just messed with his mind. So I can imagine what she's going through. So please keep her in prayer, her husband and children, and also Brother Les and Sister Nancy. I believe they're able to listen and watch this evening. So, brother, if you're watching, hello, we love you. We're praying for you, and praying that God helps you. Does anybody else have any prayer requests this evening before we go forward? Brother Chris?
Just pray for safety and good health in San Francisco for our brothers. We're going to be in the heart of the, what they call the Tenderloin District. It says the heart and the liver of San Francisco. So it's very dangerous. Even the hotel manager told me, you know, this is the wrong neighborhood, right? I said, yes, I know. So for protection and good health.
So keep Brother Chris in prayer. He's got to travel out there to San Francisco to help take care of his brother's funeral and arrangements out there. So keep him in prayer as he flies there and flies back with his sister. Does anybody else have anything? Sister Kathy?
Just an update on my brother-in-law, Dave. His health seems to be stabilized, but I didn't get any feedback about the information that I sent him on the Bible, although my sister said that he didn't scream and throw it out the door or anything.
That's a good thing.
Good.
Amen.
And also, my Aunt Jackie that had the stroke and her speech, she is, I'm going to say she's 90% better.
Amen.
I can understand what she's saying, and it's really a relief. She should just have maybe a couple of more weeks of therapy and then get out. So thank you, everyone. For
Amen. Prayer. Amen. I saw another hand back. Brother Jim?
Yeah, just pray for safe travels for the for my family and Don's family as they travel up here for the wedding on Sunday. My sister's coming from South Carolina, and her one sister lives in South Jersey, Sicklyville, I believe.
Okay. So keep Brother Jim's family in prayer as they travel up for the wedding this Sunday. Keep the wedding in prayer as well. If there's any loss, that God would just work upon our hearts. He's asked me just to do a little short gospel message before the ceremony, so just keep that in prayer that God would just deal with anybody that might be here that doesn't know the Savior. Does anybody else have anything, Sister Cheryl?
Please pray for my resident at Manicure. Her name is Kim. And Kim is saved. But there was an incident where she fell. It was two aides. Obviously didn't much know what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up, this is a resident who can't move at all. And they put her at the edge of the bed. And she was asking them to put her in the center of the bed, but they wasn't listening to her. And this happened on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And she ended up reaching for something, like as she was on her side.
Uh-huh.
And when she reached, because she was so close, she fell right out of the bed. And the bed was kind of high. They didn't put the bed down where they should have. She had a gash on the right side of her forehead. And so family and everything is all worked up. So pray for her for healing and pray for her family. And pray for the CNA, because I'm sure that it, they should have listened, but I'm sure that it, you know, it affected them too. And I know that, so just pray for them.
Will do. Yes, ma'am. So keep Miss Kim in prayer. It fell down. She hurt her head pretty bad, and also the workers that were involved with it. Keep them in prayer. Does anybody else have anything? What you got? Oh, they are.
Parents are.
Oh, okay.
Florida tomorrow morning. I'm supposed to arrive Friday evening.
They're driving?
They are. They're both 85. Dad's doing all the driving, so just pray for their safety.
Okay, we'll do.
He has not driven this far in probably 21 years.
Really keep them in prayer, Miss Donna's parents, as they travel up from Florida. And they're doing it in 2 days?
They are.
Ooh.
Take 3 days.
if I could. I mean, just struggle with that. Amen. Does anybody else have anything?
I also talked with Margo the other day, and she's feeling good. She's looking forward to meeting you.
Yes.
Where you were gonna?
It worked out today.
You got to see her?
No, I got the. They finally contacted me today.
An appointment.
So I got.
She's anxious to meet.
Amen.
So is Florence.
I met her yesterday.
Good.
So it worked out. Amen. Yeah, so keep Miss Florence, Miss Margo in prayer. Whew. So, Miss Florence, I got to see her yesterday. Melanie and I got to go over there and talk to her. We can only go. You can only go for a half an hour, and it's got to be scheduled. And it's only over there is 3 days a week, but you got to schedule out before you can come in. They finally contacted me today about Miss Margo because I guess they had to get her permission first to meet with me. So she said yes. So thank the Lord. So she got back. The social worker and them got back with me today. Activities director. And said they scheduled it for next Tuesday. So, Lord willing, next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I'll be able to go over and visit with her as well. So, keep that in prayer. Does anybody else have anything?
Can I just add one thing? Can we just please remember Anna and her family?
Yes, ma'am.
And then lastly, there's a... you know what? God knows his name. I can't remember his name. I see him all the time. But any time I see him, he's over in Walmart. He's an older man, and we chit-chat a little bit. And today, when we chit-chatted, he's talking to me about the rapture and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, like, talking to him, and I'm like, well, you know what, that's all good and fine. I'm like, but let me ask you a question. I'm like, are you saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven?
Uh-huh.
And I had to ask him quite a few times because he wanted to talk about the rapture and what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what, we are going to be raptured. I said, I'm telling you, we're not going to worry about anything, that you're talking about. None of the negative stuff. And then finally I said to him, because I gave him a tract about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I said, do you know where you're going?
Exactly.
He said, I'm saved. And I said, good.
Amen.
So I said, well, if you're saved and the rapture comes, I said, you're not going to have anything to worry about.
You're just
so
fine.
Greg, I think he told me his name was Lester.
Lester.
But the Lord knows.
Amen. We'll do.
That he will come to church. Because I don't think right now he has a permanent church. And he's listening to a lot of stuff, on
uh-huh.
the internet that doesn't always.
Exactly.
It's not always a good
uh-huh.
thing. But the fact that I talked to him a few times, but he finally shut his fist. I am saved.
Amen. That's some reaction from him. So keep this man in prayer. Was that Miss Cheryl had a chance to talk to at Walmart?
He's so funny. I think you guys made him, you gotta love him, but he's just funny.
Amen. So keep him in prayer that maybe he'll come out to church sometime and get a chance to meet him. Does anybody else have anything? Nothing? Good. All right. All right. So this evening, like I said, I'm going to switch things up a little bit. Because I really, that hymn, brethren, we have met to worship, all is vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. You know, you can have church meetings, you can read your Bible, you can memorize scripture, you can do all these things, but the power of God needs to be there, okay? The Spirit and with power, okay? You just don't want to go through the motions on things. And I don't know if anybody's ever read anything on E.M. Bounds, but he wrote quite a few works, pretty big volume on prayer. I mean, all I got to do is just read one paragraph of his works, and I'm already feeling like in the dumps because of my prayer life. But there's a lot of power. The man had something with God. And he said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer, and I'll throw ladies in there as well. He says, men, and I'm going to say women too, are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon. I meant to double check it before I come to church tonight. But I think he said one time, one of his quotes on prayer, he said, I'd rather teach one man to pray and be able to get a hold of God than 10 men that can preach. That's something right there with that. So this evening, I'm going to take a little time, and it's probably, like I said, it's going to carry over into Sunday. And I want to look at prayer, okay? I just want to look at prayer and the importance of prayer and how we need to spend time in prayer. I'll give you a perfect example. So if you take tomorrow, okay, I don't know who's going to show up or be able to go over there to hold up signs, or who's not going to be able to go up over there and hold up signs. But if you can't go, Lord willing, tomorrow between 6 and 7, if you can't go over there, pray for those that can go. That God would bless the work, that God would bless His word as it goes forward, as people read those scriptures. Like, I'm so happy to get back out there again and pray about other ministries in the church or for the church. That God would lead and direct you to what you could do. Okay? We can all do something. There was something on my heart thinking about somebody that maybe can't get out as much. If the church could buy you some stamps and you just get some addresses and start mailing out some tracts to different homes in the area. There's always, listen, there is something that can be done. And if you're at the point to where you're bedridden or you can't move no more, you can still pray, which to me is the most important thing. Is that you can pray and get a hold of God for those that can go out on the front lines. Right? Not everybody goes out on the front lines of a battle. Not everybody that goes to war is out there shooting a gun. There's thousands and thousands behind the scene helping those that got to go out there to go to war. Okay? You got admin, you got medical staff, you got all kinds of people behind the scenes that aren't on the front lines necessarily. And that's the same way in the church, and it's the same thing with spiritual battles. Some are going to be able to go, others are going to stay. Like with David, they're going to stay by the stuff. There's going to be some out there fighting, some staying with the stuff. So if you can't go tomorrow, pray 6 to 7. God, get a hold of them. Bless your word as it goes forth. Deal with souls that they come out to church, that they get saved and they start coming to church. But it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Prayer is very, very, very important. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1, Paul says here in verse number 1, he says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And thank you for the rain, dear Lord, and just the safety to get us to church tonight. Lord, thank you for your word and just the opportunity to open it up this evening. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. Lord, help us to hear what your spirit may say to us, dear God, tonight. Lord, that our lives would draw closer to you. Lord, that our lives would be more pleasing to you. And Lord, that our lives would have power behind them, dear God, as we go forward and put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask you to just help us now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But you say here, we'll start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says to them here in these verses, first off, he says, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So Paul, if you read through 2 Corinthians, that church there gave him some issues and problems. Okay, he deals with the carnality of the church, as we're going to see here with them. There's a lot of issues going on in Corinthians about who's going to be the best, who's following who, Apollos, Paul. They're talking about gifts of the Spirit, just a lot of issues with the church there in Corinth. And Paul says here, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Paul comes to them and beseeches them with a spirit of meekness and gentleness. So this is what I want to look at now. This is all going to come back around to prayer. Now listen, David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, David says. What David was saying, God, if I have sin in my heart, if there's wickedness, if there's iniquity in my life and in my heart, David said, God, you're not going to hear me till I get that taken care of. And what I want to look at tonight as we go to prayer afterwards, Lord willing. I've had quite a few people talk to me about prayer time on Wednesday evenings over the last 2 months. And I've been praying about it a while, about what to do about our prayer time. Okay? And so we're going to do something a little different this evening when it comes to prayer. Because listen, I want to look at, if there's animosity in the heart, I don't care if you pray for 10 hours, it ain't going higher than the ceiling. If there's strife, if there's envy, if there's bitterness, and I'm not being sacrilegious, but it's almost as if God's just standing off to the side saying, all right, you can keep talking as long as you want to talk until this thing's made right. You're basically wasting your breath pretty much. And God deals with us in our lives that way, especially times where we know we're not doing what God wants us to do. And it almost, I get that picture in my mind, like the Lord talking to me as a father to a son, saying, son, you know, you're wasting your time. You need to make this thing right before you go any further. We can't have fellowship here till you make this thing right. And so when we look at prayer, listen, the Spirit of God and the power of God moving through prayer is not going to work if we're not right with God first and foremost. So Paul says here to these brethren, he says, I beseech you by meekness, by the gentleness, Paul's not doing it in his own strength. Paul says, I'm beseeching you through Christ with meekness and gentleness because of what I'm doing it through Christ. You see, sometimes people don't come to the Lord because they can't forgive. I'm talking about a lost person. I've dealt with young girls especially that had horrible things done to them when I was a chaplain. And they had a hard time being able to come to God because they realized that I would have to forgive this individual for the wicked things that they'd done to me. Sometimes family members. And they're like, I just cannot forgive them. But the question is this, yeah, you might not be able to forgive them, but can you forgive them for Christ's sake? You see, can you forgive them? Can you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work in your life to offer that forgiveness and not in your own power and your own strength? Paul says here, I beseech you, I entreat you with a soft temper and mildness and gentleness. Why? He says here in verse number 1, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. There were some there in that church that thought Paul was just a show. That Paul wasn't the real thing, that he was just doing these things according to the flesh. And Paul says, listen, I'm going to be bold to you now as I go forward. And we're not going to go through the whole book of 2 Corinthians at this time. But Paul gets bold to them in what he's getting ready to say to them. And Paul says here, take your Bible and flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse number 1. Paul states that in their presence, he was base. But now being absent and writing this letter, he's bold toward them. The reason for this boldness is in his letter is that some thought or assumed that he was walking according to the flesh. Base means this. It means low. It means mean, which means low or base or vile, worthless, of low station, of a mean account, without rank or dignity. Paul says, I was base among you. There was nothing special about me. But they thought that he walked according to the flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Look what Paul says. He says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel freely? Look what he says in verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I am present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Paul's telling him, listen, I didn't walk according to the flesh. When I came into you, when I tried to reach this church and start this church and bring the gospel to you in Corinth, he said, listen, he said, I did it to where you couldn't charge me and say, listen, I'm doing it to make a profit for myself. Paul says, no, I robbed other churches. I took things from other churches so that when I came in here, you there was no reason for you to be able to point a finger at me and say, well, you're doing it because of this, or you're doing it because of that. You say, preacher, why are we going down this road? Because listen, as we live our daily life and we pray, we need to pray and ask God that we don't provide an opportunity for someone to say, well, you're only doing it or pointing a finger at us, or giving them an excuse not to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I guess my point is, don't give an individual a reason to point the finger at you and say, well, yeah, well, you're doing this because of this right here. To where you can be clear and say, listen, no, there's nothing there you can point the finger back at me. How does that come about? But by prayer. Look what he says in verse 3. Well, yeah, look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Look, they bring this accusation to Paul. Paul beseeches them in meekness and gentleness of Christ. He says, listen, I was base among you, but now I'm going to be bold towards you in this letter. Why? Because there's some that think I walk according to the flesh. Paul realizes now, he realizes what he's dealing with. He's not dealing with those that are in the flesh. Listen, our battle, and I've said this before, our battle is not in the fleshly, physical realm. Our battle is in the spiritual realm, in the heavenlies. Well, how do we get involved in that battle? How do we stay faithful in that battle? By prayer and by supplication to God. If we look at it as it's you against me, or you against me, or you against me, and we look at it as one against the other right here on it, no, we're missing the, no. The battle's not here physically, the battle spiritually. Paul says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, Paul realizes where the battle's at. He realizes what he's dealing with. And he goes on, and we're going to look at it, verses 4 and 5. He realizes he's dealing with things in heavenly places. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Let me ask this question this evening. How is our walk? Is it according to the desires and wants of our flesh, or towards the desires and wants of the Spirit of God in our life? Do we live our life daily of how we can please the flesh? Now, there's right things to partake of in the flesh. One of them is food. God has given us food to enjoy. Right? Hopefully everybody in here has a favorite food or something you like to eat. That's a good thing. That's a fleshly thing. And it's a right and proper thing if it's done in moderation. Okay? So there's some fleshly things that are right and that are correct. But a lot of fleshly things we do is just to make us feel good about ourselves, to where we don't have to abase ourselves. And that's sometimes what God requires. To put the flesh to death so that the Spirit can live. Look, take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. This is I'll give you two things that are difficult to do in the flesh, very difficult to do in the flesh. One of them is fasting. A lot of people, I'll just talk about myself. I don't fast a lot. But how were those devils cast out with that one young man at one time? By what? Prayer, fasting. Brethren, do we want, and I beseech you as a pastor, as we go forward as a church, it's got to be done in the spirit and the power. I don't want just to go through the motions. That's not why I'm here. I believe God's brought me here, but I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just come and just do church because it's the right thing to do. I don't want that. You know, I got thinking about it more. There's God's got us here for a reason. The rapture has not taken place yet. God's got us here for a reason. Number one is to bring him honor, glory, and pleasure. And the next thing in there is to be a witness and testimony for Jesus Christ to the lost. What else is there to live for? What did Jesus say if you're going to be a disciple? What did you have to hate? Family. Yourself. That's a pretty difficult thing. Think about it, brethren. The sacrifices, think about some of the sacrifices that missionaries of the past had to make when it took a year just to get one letter. Basically, missionaries in the past, when they went on the mission field, pretty much they realized, I might not be coming back. Chances are, I probably won't be coming back. Especially some of them who went to cannibalistic islands or get sick with malaria or some strange disease that their body wasn't used to. They weren't coming home. There was two Moravian brethren that sold themselves into slavery so that they could reach the slaves. Brethren, and I it's pointing at me first, we're missing something today. And I'm not saying as a church here. I'm not saying anybody here. I'm saying as a whole, the body of Christ today. Could you even think about selling yourself into slavery so you can reach that group of people who is almost unreachable? Because from what I gather, they were on a certain island and then one man owned that island. In order to have access to the island to give the gospel to them, the only way to get on that island was to be a slave. You can only do that by the power of God. God would have to call you to it. But also, God's not going to force you either. God's just not going to make you a robot and make you go do something. No, God says, here's the call. Are you going to answer the call? Even if it costs you the rest of your life as a slave. But there's power in that. You see, I believe that's where the power's in when we get on that altar, when we take up our cross daily. That is when we abase ourselves. Ralph quoted it the other day. You sang that song. He said, "When I am weak, now I'm strong." I talked about one time about that man that got the Catholic Church had put him on a rack to torture him because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't think I said the rest of the story. But when they let him off of the rack, that's where they pull your arms and everything and legs out of socket to get you to recant. When they released him and were getting to take him off to take him back to his cell, he started crying out saying, "Put me back on there." He said, "Put me back on the rack." And the people, the priests that were there, they were like, "What is this man's gone crazy?" He's like, "I've never been closer to God in my entire life." Glory to God. Do you see what God can do for you? What the history we have of our past brothers and sisters and Lord and what they went through and the power they had with God, but it cost them something. I'm not just preaching to you tonight, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching more to myself than I'm preaching to you. God help my pathetic soul. But that's where the power's at. That's where the power is at. When you put self to death and say, "Death to self, listen, I want Christ to dwell within me in every form, aspect of my life." But it's a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. And any sacrifice I ever known of has to die. We don't like to die, though. We don't want to die. I don't want to die. My flesh don't want to die. My flesh wants to live. My flesh wants to give pleasure to itself. My flesh wants to have its way. But what I need to do is I need to take the sword of the Word of God, and when it rears its ugly head, I need to chop it off. And if it grows another one, I need to take that sword and I need to chop it off so that the Spirit of God can live through me and the power of God can be there, but it comes at a cost. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What? When you get saved, what are you made free from? You're made free from the law of sin and of death. And therefore, there is no more condemnation. When you get saved, you're always saved because now you're no longer underneath the condemnation of God. The wrath of God no longer abides upon you because it was fulfilled on His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. He paid it all. Therefore, when you're saved and you're born again in the Spirit of God, you can't sin in the Spirit. But you see, you still got this flesh. You see, we ain't got the new body yet. Someday we're getting that new body. Someday we're going over there, crossing over to the other side. And like I said before, the only thing that's separating us from here to the other side is this thin veil of flesh covering our bodies. Someday we're crossing over. We're going to have a new body that's never going to sin. But we still got this flesh. My flesh can sin, but my spirit cannot because it's born again of God. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are what? Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, look what it did. It hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For look what it says in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, listen, when the law says thou shalt not commit adultery, you know what? The flesh is weak, and you saw that weakness in David's life. What man at that time on this planet was closer to God than David? David was a friend of God. David walked with God. David did great things for God. David wrote all those psalms. David loved God. But what the law says here in verse number 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, David was not born again of the Spirit of God because Christ had not yet come to make full atonement for sins. Therefore, you say, preacher, what's the difference? The difference between me and David is now I now have the Spirit of God dwelling within me, which now gives me the ability to have victory over my flesh. I can't say, well, there's no excuse for me when I sin now. Because I have the power through God that dwells within me. I have His Word. And I have the ability now to bring my flesh into subjection. David didn't have the same opportunity when he walked on this earth. Neither did Abraham. Neither did Moses. Neither did Enoch. Neither did Elijah. These great men and women of the faith. They didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They weren't born again. They weren't converted like we are today. So if they can do it, how much more accountable will we be before God? Look at verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law, look what it says. I'm at verse 3 again. For what the law could not do and it was weak through the flesh, God, look what he says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. How? Why? That the righteousness of the law, look, brethren, you know why you can't lose your salvation? Because of verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You have fulfilled the law that God demanded through Jesus Christ. It's been fulfilled. You are now made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you as a saved individual, He no longer sees Brother Ralph. He no longer sees Brother Chris. He no longer sees Sister Sharon. He sees Jesus Christ, His Son, who paid the price and fulfilled the law for you because you can't fulfill the law. You know why I believe you can't lose your salvation? Because you can never keep it. You cannot keep your salvation. There is no way. I remember dealing one time at a flea market. We used to set up a little booth, a little table at the flea market, hand out tracts. And a woman came by one time, and I tried to give her a tract. She says, no, I know God. She's like, but what church? She found out what church I'm going to. She's like, yeah, but I don't believe you because I believe you can lose your salvation. I said, so you don't sin? No, I don't sin. But you lose it? I was like, you've been perfect now in your flesh since you've been saved? Well, no, I made mistakes. All right, here we go. I made mistakes. No, you sin. You sin. If you tell a lie, you just sin. And a lie is called, you're called a liar, right? Therefore, you just sin. Therefore, if you lose your salvation, you just lost it. See, when I was a Pentecostal, I used to ask, well, when I got saved, I went back and asked them, well, what sin is a sin where you lose your salvation? And they never had an answer for it. And none of them ever lost their salvation. But the ones that love God and try to strive for God, like, would go crazy in the mind. Because they realize, I can't keep it. I remember coming home telling my wife, I just lost the Holy Ghost. I lost it again today. I lost the Holy Ghost again today. Because of something I had done. And that racked my brain. Like, I can't keep this. I can't keep what God demands. I can't keep what God demands. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die for me. And he's fulfilled it. Look what it says in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now this is what I want to look at tonight here as we're talking about prayer. As we finish up here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now I'm talking to believers now tonight. A believer can be carnally minded. Carnally means this, in a carnal manner according to the flesh, in a manner to gratify the flesh or sensual desires. A believer can still sin in his flesh. You say, well, then they can still go to heaven? Absolutely, because of what Christ has done for them. You say, so then, here's another one. Well, then you just believe you can just go out and do anything you want to do. You don't know the same God I know then. Brethren, I get convicted sometimes if I drop a piece of paper and I need to pick it up. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, I don't know about you, but I know since I've been saved, I can't get away with nothing. I don't know about, that's why it's foreign to me, some people that say they're saved and they look at me sometimes like I'm crazy. When I got saved, it's like now the Lord's like, I got this huge spotlight on me all the time. The Lord says, I see that. I saw that. Oh, let's talk about grades for Monday. Yeah, there you go, sister. Say that again. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Can't get away with nothing. My wife's at... I love my wife. She gave a good question. She said, well, how'd you do today? Because I had some errands to do running around. I said, I was driving along, and I said, why are you turning that way? Well, we were driving, right? And Lord smote my heart. Lord smote my heart. And then so I'm like, all right, Lord, forgive me. Because I said, forgive me, Lord, right? So I'm driving. Somebody does something dumb in front of me, right? I don't say anything. And the Lord's like, son, come on. Still in the heart. I didn't say it with my words, but I'm thinking in my head, what are you doing? But I thought I could get away with it with God because I didn't come out my mouth. I thought I was doing good because it didn't come out the mouth, but it was still in the heart. I can't get away with nothing. I can't get away with attitudes. I can have a smile on my face, but in my heart, it's not right. And God says, son, yeah, you're smiling, but your heart ain't right. Son, you're saying all the right things. Yeah, you got all the right words. You say in a Bible verse, but your heart ain't right. I can't get away with nothing. So back to my statement. If somebody says, well, you just believe you can just do whatever and go on to heaven. You can go to a bar, drink it up, just have a good old time, and God's still going to take you to heaven. Well, I don't think I'd last very long. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Now listen, I've raised three boys and I got my daughter here. My boys were little. They 10, 11, 12, and they're doing something. Let's just say they're stealing from the local candy store or whatever. I get a hold of it, they're getting dealt with. The more they do it, the harder they're getting dealt. They're going to know Daddy's here. Same thing spiritually. If you're really saved, you ought to know your father's there. Because any good father is going to discipline his children. Any good father, not only is he going to love his children, he's going to discipline his children, he's going to spend time with his children, he's going to correct his children. Why? Because he loves them. He cares for them. He wants what's best for them. So if that's true in the physical side, it's also going to be true on the spiritual side. So if we got a father in heaven, we're now his sons. We're now sons of God, as it says in 1 John. You're going to be chastised. The Bible says this. If you can go on and do some of the same things you did, let's say you used to go to the bar, and you can keep going to the bar and ain't nothing bothering you, I'd have to say you're a bastard. That's a Bible word, Hebrews. What's a bastard? What's the definition of a bastard? An illegitimate child. You're not a child of God. You're a child of the flesh. You think you're a child of God, but in actuality, you ain't been changed at all. You're still a dog, or you're still a pig, as it says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I can't remember right now. As a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow returns to the miring in the mud, you ain't been changed into no sheep yet. You're still a dog, you're still a sow. You can clean a pig up. You can spray some perfume on a pig, some cologne on a pig, get them all nice looking clean, put a little bow around them, but they're still a pig. You can do a dog, you can make a dog look all pretty, but it's still a dog. You got to be a sheep. Has God made you a sheep? Because sheep have a shepherd. And a shepherd ain't going to let his sheep, if he's a good shepherd, we got a good shepherd, he's not going to let you go do the things you want to do. Because you're now his sheep. And what a good shepherd desires from a sheep is production. A good shepherd desires production, either for meat, for wool, whatever purpose that a sheep may be able to give. The only reason he's keeping sheep is he's going to try to make money off of them. There's a purpose for them. And there's a purpose for us being the sheep of our Heavenly Father. He wants production from our life. He wants fruit. It's a long way to get around. We ain't there yet, though. But prayer is at the very top, or really, really, really close to the top. I'm talking about true prayer, truly getting a hold of God, praying without ceasing, getting a heart of the whole heart of God in intercession and supplications to see God move. We got lost loved ones. We all have lost loved ones that we know that aren't saved. Getting a hold of God to bring that Holy Ghost conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Do you see this evening? The power of God through prayer. And we're going to continue looking on through it, about it. But here we looked at Romans chapter 8 tonight and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can't have a powerful prayer life if you're still living in the flesh and carnally. It's just not going to happen. It is not going to happen. If your desire is just carnal desires and how you can please your flesh and how you can just live the life you want to live and do the things you want to do, that might be fine and dandy for right now, but you're not going to have no power with God. The power is going to be lacking because there's something hindering it, and it's your flesh. It's the carnal, it's the carnality. Carnality leads to death. Not only spiritually, but if you continue on in it, physically. You saw that in the book of Corinthians. So as we close up this evening and continue on, Lord will, maybe Sunday, on this study of prayer, this is what I'd like to do this evening about praying. What I'd like to do this evening is I'd like to do it individually to where you really try to grab a hold of God tonight and silently. And I'll ask this evening too, as I close here in prayer and we go into a season of prayer, some things I'd ask you to bring up specifically. Miss Alita Harris, please. Beseech the throne of God that God would spare her life, that God would help her heart, that God would help her kidneys, that God would help her husband, that God would help her children. prayed for some of the prayer requests that were brought up, lost loved ones. Sister Kathy brings up Dave, her brother-in-law. Pray to God. He's got material. As far as we know, he hasn't thrown it away. As far as we know. That he would open it up and he would read it. That we would pray for those on the mission field. That we would pray for our government leaders. And that we would pray for our church. And what I mean by prayer for our church, to make sure that our hearts are clear with God number one and in amongst ourselves. Number one, clear before God, and number two, clear amongst ourselves. So that the gateway is open to heaven for our prayers. That there wouldn't be nothing here that would quench the spirit and hinder us praying. So that we can get a hold of God for our community, for our missionaries, for our lost loved ones, for preachers and pastors that are across this land, across this world, that are preaching the truth of the gospel of Christ. If God lays one of them on your heart, pray for them. Pray that they continue on in the fight. Pray that our brethren here that can't make it, Brother Les, Sister Nancy, keep them in prayer. Keep Miss Florence in prayer, Miss Margot in prayer, those that are struggling. And pray for those that haven't brought up prayer requests, but they're dealing with depression. They're dealing with anxiety. They're dealing with loneliness. They're dealing with the battles that the enemy's coming in their mind, and they're not going to tell nobody about it, but I know it's there. Because I deal with some of the same battles. So keep one another in prayer. Lift one up in prayer. Now this is what I'm going to ask. We're going to pray individually. But this is what I'm going to ask. If you're done praying, and somebody else is done praying, and you'd like to talk, go into the nursery, go into the hallway, go outside if it's not raining. But if there's still someone here praying, I'm going to ask that you just respect that. This is a serious thing. I remember in the Pentecostal church, you didn't come into the area here, and if there was people praying, I remember as a little kid, you didn't talk, you didn't run, you didn't do nothing. I know that's one thing my mom and daddy put in me, the fear of God when it come into a church and somebody's praying. Why? Because who are you talking to? It's rude to interrupt two people that me and Miss Sharon are talking. Someone comes and just butts in that's a rude thing to do. Much less between somebody that's talking to God. So it's been on my heart for a while, a couple months at least. So we're going to pray individually. Pray quietly. If you're done, people are still praying, quietly leave or quietly go out. So we get a hold of God. I'm serious. Brother Chris getting ready to take a big old trip. His health ain't well. He's traveling across the country to a very wicked city. Very wicked city. Keep him in prayer. Let God help him and his sister. And any witness and opportunities he might get with this man who's taken care of or been friends with his brother. Intercede for God. Intercede for tomorrow for the sign holdings. Intercede for Miss Alicia or Miss Sister Strawn over there in Japan. For Brother Jeff Coat. Those on the mission field can be pretty lonely as well. Keep them in prayer. So I want to use Wednesday night as a special time. You've all come out, and I appreciate it. But let's touch the throne of God. Pray for our services Sunday, that God would get in our services Sunday, Lord willing, if God allows us. And that God would deal with lost individuals that might come out to church on Sunday. That the Spirit of God would move. Not that we would just preach, but God, that God would move and work upon hearts. We're soldiers. We got orders. Let's make sure we stay faithful to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you, dear, precious Heavenly Father, for your love. God, Lord, I have no words, Father, for your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, I pray for this precious church. I pray for these precious brethren that take time to come out on a Wednesday night. I know some of them have worked all day. They're tired. They're wore out. But Lord, I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd strengthen them. Lord, I pray you'd give them, Lord, help tonight, dear God. Lord, that you would get us home safe. But Lord, as we get ready now to go into a little season, a time of season of prayer, Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers. Dear God, that you would answer our prayers according to your will. And Lord, that you would help us to draw closer to you in these last days. That Lord, that your power may rest upon us, dear God. And Lord, that others would know and see a difference in us because of what you've done for us. And Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So if you're going to state a prayer, I ask it again, we do it individually. If you're done or finished up and there's still individuals praying, I'm just asking that you just respect that. Lord willing, I appreciate it. I love you all. And Lord willing, see you on Sunday if I don't get to talk to you afterwards. Okay. So if you're going to stay, let's go ahead and try to get a hold of God.